Okay, settle down and open your ears, open your mind, and if you families are sitting around the dining table now or have had dinner earlier tonight, maybe you're having that after-dinner snack of milk and cookies, whatever, if you put butter on your food, and boy, if you had ice cream and on, sour cream, we could go, this is a big story. It has been covered on this program for years, but it is covered full-time, 24/7, by one of America's great heroes, a man who has committed over 10 years of his life and then some to try to make your lives healthier and happier. And I'm talking about Robert Cohen. Many of you do not know about Robert Cohen. You long-timers certainly remember Robert's earlier visits on the program, but his website at notmilk.com is absolutely essential for anyone still above room temperature. And for those of you who remember those white milk mustache commercials, we've got some information for you tonight. Welcome back, Robert.
It's nice to be here, Jeff. How you been?
Like you. Busy,
passionate,
busy.
24/7. You're not kidding.
It's crazy.
We're cursed.
Well, listen, you have saved so many lives and improved so many others. And I'm not understating that in any measure. This website you have, and I visit it every 3 or 4 months just to watch it grow. It is absolutely beyond belief.
There's a lot of information there. You could probably find a few million words now.
It's incredible. And I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was that you were on first on the program, but it was a powerhouse then, although modest in its scope. It's nuclear now. No one can visit this and still drink milk. I don't see how they could.
Today, for example, I spoke with 4 different doctors throughout the country, and we're kind of put it together about health and fitness, really the way to get there. It's called Not Milk.
Amazing. Are they still running those repulsive milk mustache commercials? I haven't
seen
them.
Well, the good news is they withdrew one today. The Olsen twins had been models for one of those milk mustaches, and they've developed serious eating disorders, these Olsen twins,
yeah.
And the dairy industry actually pulled one of their ads because of that.
Interesting. Now, those are I made a lot of Disney movies, I guess.
Did you say Dizzy movies?
Yes, I did. Of course.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Now, one of them allegedly had not an eating disorder, but a nose disorder.
You're right. It's cocaine. That's the white stuff on her lip. It's not a milk mustache. It's a cocaine mustache.
I knew I wouldn't have to say it. Thank you.
But, you know, something, the dairy industry has blown it when it comes to those milk mustache ads. They've chosen people who are vegans. They've chosen people who are, their families are sick and cannot tolerate milk. These people go for the money. And they get $25,000 for doing that milk mustache ad, and really betrays the children.
And you did hear Robert correctly. He said milk mustache ads. He's not joking either.
Well, the average liter of milk, the average quart of milk sold in America last year contained 319 million pus cells. That's what milk is. It's dead white blood cells. It's pus.
That's what gives it that tangy little aftertaste.
Yeah, but pus is not dangerous, Jeff. Just remember. Especially if you mix it with sugar and you freeze it and you put a cherry on top. It's actually rather tasty.
Don't forget the chocolate syrup. Good
exactly.
Lord. And the ketchup and whatever else you can put on it. I go into the supermarket, not very often because I shop in a health food store. And I look, and you've looked, and many of our listeners have looked at that shopping carts, those of us who know what's going on, and see a mother with her kids, and she'll have 4 half gallons of milk, butter, ice cream, sour cream, the whole 9 yards, it's all there. And by the way, did you know where the whole 9 yards came from, that expression?
I actually do. I'm really good at trivia, so I do know.
Okay, all right. I do, too. And now we're going to have to tell them, I guess.
Well, when those World War II fighters went out with their airplanes, and they would report, I shot the whole 9 yards. It was a 27-foot belt of bullets. In that machine gun.
It's amazing.
That was the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, it was. Well, indeed, and when you look in people's grocery carts, you can almost, and you could be a master at it, you can almost sit down with a paper and pencil and write out their future health problems without too much trouble at all.
Oh, yeah, you can see the child with the nasal drip and the child who has the earaches and the temper tantrums. These terrible twos are really a factor of weaning when they start on the dairy product. mood swings, depression, irritability, attention deficit disorder. Dr. Robert Cade at the University of Florida identified an opiate naturally occurring even in healthy milk, very similar to morphine, called casomorphin. Get the child off the casomorphin, and that attention deficit disorder or autism disappears.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Isn't that something?
And, yeah.
And this, we're talking real science here. As a matter of fact, a student of the great T. Colin Campbell from Cornell University, a woman by the name of Antonia DeMoss, took an entire school of children, juvenile delinquents, who had committed violent crimes in Florida, put them on a entirely vegan diet, no meat, no milk, and noted a dramatic change in their behavior and learning curve.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is real science. You want to see a change in your child, get off the hormones, get off the natural hormones. Organic milk naturally has estrogen and progesterone and prolactin and melatonin and oxytocin.
59 different hormones in a glass of milk, whether it's organic or factory farm.
You know, people would get sick at the thought of drinking dog milk or pig milk or even human breast milk. We drink it from the cow and we get our hormones.
Yeah, I like your analogy there. Squirrel milk was one you used to use.
Oh, God, that's delicious.
Have a glass of squirrel milk, and people cringe. Come on, people, it's the same thing. These are all mammals. What's the diff?
Except
squirrel milk probably would be healthier for you.
Well, you know, women who, before they give birth, they're giving milk. That milk is instructing their mammary tissue to grow. We're milking these Holstein cows before they give birth with very powerful steroid hormones.
Right.
Saying to the udders, grow. Saying to the human breasts on 9-year-old girls, grow. They do.
And that's not all that grows, folks. You've seen our young children now. They can't run, many of them. They waddle. And it's directly tied to this issue of fat, of trash, of toxin, uncountable toxins in the food we eat, especially in milk. Now, I wasn't kidding about 59 different hormones in a glass of milk or a bowl of ice cream, whatever. It doesn't matter. And these are hormones that are completely interactive and compatible with human beings in almost every case.
Well, that's true. If you think cow hormones don't work on humans, horse hormones work on humans. That's where a premarin comes from, which is pregnant
HRT.
Mare urine.
Yeah, HRT is another medieval horror story that ought to be dispensed with immediately. No more hormone replacement therapy, ladies. And I'm sure that Robert could talk to us, and we'll ask him about that a little bit later on this whole issue of estrogen. When you pump your kids full of hormones, 59 in each glass of milk as an example, what do you expect is going to happen to them? Parents?
Who knows?
Are you thinking out there? And look at yourself in the mirror. Are you what you want to be? Do you feel good? Or do you have over a gallon of extra mucus running around in your body that you could get rid of how easily, Robert?
7 days, if you give up cheese, ice cream, butter, even Parmesan cheese, everything coming out of a cow's udder for 7 days, you're going to expel from your kidney, spleen, pancreas, lungs, about a gallon of mucus. You lose about 8 pounds of pure mucus, but it's like an internal fog lifts from your body. Try it. 7 days.
That's the Robert Cohen challenge, and I can't tell you, Robert, how many people over the years I've been able to help thanks to you and your work. And they are living happier, healthier lives. They say, among other things, that they feel, they may not be, but they feel 20 pounds lighter. They feel much more alive. It's like taking a fog off them. That's exactly what it's like.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And again, you excrete that mucus, the internal fog lifts, and it really is physiologically there. You're going to sleep better. You're going to have more energy, greater lung capacity. The emotions are going to stabilize. Everything in your life changes.
Speaking of fog, there are infinite numbers of complaints now from people who experience what they're calling brain fog, lethargy, sluggishness, short-term memory loss. How can it not be with the diet we have? What do you have in your bag of tricks about that?
Well, what we want to do really is have clean blood. You have a car, you have the best high-octane gas you can put into it.
Right.
You want to do oil changes. You want your blood to be clean. You don't want your blood to be polluted. And when you're eating a lot of sulfur, when you're eating a lot of something that has the rotten egg smell, your blood has to compensate. You create an acid condition in your blood when you're eating animal protein.
There you go.
And to neutralize it, you've got to leach calcium from your bones. Mm-hmm. The researcher who heads the largest heart study in American history, William Castelli's Framingham Heart Study, has found that the key to heart disease is eating all of that sulfur from chicken, from eggs, from meat. And milk is liquid meat.
Oh, sure. That's another extraordinary way to put it.
Yeah, the amino acids in meat, methionine and cysteine, those are the two with sulfur as their center atom. And that's the key to heart disease and bone disease.
Wow. All right. The website to go to is notmilk.com. And I mean all of you, whether or not you've given up milk, go visit the website, do your research, try to help your friends. Print out an article or two or send them a URL email. Say, please read this, just for me as a favor. You have to do the work. The dairy industry is not going to help you. We have much to discuss, as we're very honored to have Robert Cohen, one of America's great heroes, back with us tonight. Jeff Rentz with Robert Cohen. There is so much to see and to learn at notmilk.com. It is just wonderful. Your state's average pus count, A to Z, articles, information, incredible, important, life-saving material. Go there, notmilk.com. We're talking with Robert. Okay, there is so much to discuss. The overall impact of dairy products on our society, on human life, cannot be overestimated. It is huge. It is enormous. It probably in and of itself constitutes a direct or indirect cause for what percentage of ill health, do you think, Robert? Have you thought about this before? I mean, it's a factor in an awful lot of disease.
Well, if you're looking for a number, let me give you a number that we can all relate to. 40% of what we eat is milk or dairy. The
40.
Average American is eating 666 pounds a year, 29.2 ounces a day of milk and dairy.
29 ounces a day of milk or dairy products the
right.
average American consumes. That
yeah,
is shocking. How much fat is in that?
The United States Department of Agriculture publishes a book every year. It's edited by Judy Putnam and Jane Allshaus, called Food Consumption, where they list about 8,000 different foods that the average American eats. And when you add up all of that cheese and ice cream and butter and yogurt, and it's unbelievable how much fat. We're basically getting so much more fat than we need, much more fat today, believe it or not, than we had 30 years ago. Calories, fat, and growth hormones, and we wonder why we have an obesity epidemic.
Well, the fattest people, fattest people in the world. Now, I think, and I wrote this down the last time you were on, and I've kept this piece of paper, we are at 666 pounds of dairy a year. That's grotesque. 29 ounces a day, and I think that 29 ounces a day has as much fat in it as some 50 slices of bacon. Was that it?
The equivalent cholesterol. Contained in, now, if you add that up for 52 years, by age 52, you've eaten from just milk and dairy products the same cholesterol contained in 1 million slices of bacon. And, Jeff, what's America's number one killer?
Jeez.
Heart disease. So it certainly takes its toll. I'm not suggesting that if you give this stuff up, you're going to live to be 100, but the key here is dying well. Because the average American takes 10 years to die. And during that period, we give all our money back to our doctors.
Oh,
that's not a way to live.
What a scam. And then the inheritance tax, which I guess is about the only good thing I agree with that the so-called administration has pushed through, is they've done away with that death tax. At least, I think they've curtailed it greatly.
But it doesn't matter. Look at all the money going back.
That's medical care for
the last 10 years. There are people on this planet who live longer than anywhere else, in Okinawa, as a matter of fact, where they're basically eating seven portions a day of fruits and veggies and mm-hmm. seven portions a day of grains and mm-hmm. two portions a day of soy and maybe once a week fish. But they don't even have X-ray machines on Okinawa. They don't need them. They don't get bone disease. Mm-hmm. That should be our model. They don't get cancer. Mm-hmm. That should be what we're doing.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
You know, there's a big story out today, Jeff. I don't know if you saw your newspaper, the evening news. I heard it on the radio. There's a new story. This has been the summer of phony studies. And today we learn if you drink milk, you're going to prevent colon cancer.
Oh, man.
Well, I got a copy of that study. I went to two college libraries, couldn't find it. Finally, I sprung for the $27.50 online to get this study that was published in the International Journal of Cancer, the National Cancer Institute. They claim that if you drink milk, you're not going to get colon cancer. And the study, if you read the actual study, it's just the opposite. Which is, by the way, the subject of my column. I write a column every single day. If you go to notmilk.com, you can subscribe to my free column. That'll be the subject of my column tomorrow. These phony studies are just meant to betray people. And boy, this one is one of the worst I've ever seen.
Give me a little bit more.
Sure. If you look at colon cancer, one out of 40 people in our population get intestinal polyps.
Right.
And of that one out of 40, that one person, one out of 50 of those people who get the polyps will develop colon cancer. So therefore, one out of 2,000 people mm-hmm. in America mm-hmm. will get colon cancer this mm-hmm. year. So again, if you're taking, let's say, 200,000 people, you're going to get 100 of those people getting colon cancer. If you take 500,000 people, you're going to get 250 people a year getting colon cancer.
Right.
So what these scientists did was they took 11 studies that had been done on large populations. They took the Harvard Nurse study and a study done in Sweden and one done in Canada and an Iowa woman study. They added up 500,000 people, and they arbitrarily took out anybody who was eating a lot of calories. They took them out. They didn't include them. And who's eating a lot of calories? People who eat a lot of ice cream and cheese. Then they took out all the people who already had cancer. So it's the most biased study I've ever seen.
Gross.
5,000 of those people got colon cancer, where normally in a population you'd expect 250,
mm-hmm.
and they're making interpolations based on flawed data.
Yeah.
And it's exactly, again, the opposite of their conclusion. They conclude that drink milk prevents colon cancer. An absurd study. I really spell it out for you in tomorrow's column.
Amazing. Just amazing. And this is science and medicine we're supposed to trust. Friend, you got it. Folks, pay attention to this, please. Notmilk.com is a website. Robert Cohen is my guest. As I look at the lineup of information from A to Z, my eyes spin. There is so much there. We're going to talk about Crohn's disease and irritable bowel syndrome and many other things as we continue with Robert after this. Back, and for all of you online, and that's most of us nowadays, I just cannot enough encourage you to go to notmilk.com. Let me just give you one little tiny vignette. I'll try and do this during our first 2 hours tonight when we have our time with Robert Cohen. Here's one called Apples and Pizza. If an apple a day keeps the doctor away, what can a slice of pizza do for you? One portion of Tombstone, appropriately named, sausage and pepperoni pizza weighing 125 grams contains 327 calories, 16.4 grams of fat, and 31 milligrams of cholesterol. One medium apple weighing 125 grams contains 74 calories, 0.45 grams of fat, and no cholesterol. Now, if you want to shed 1 pound of fat from your body weight, you would have to burn 3,500 calories. Compare one person to another. Person A eats an apple each day, and person B eats just one portion of Tombstone pizza each day. After 1 year, the pizza person would supply his or her body with 92,345 more calories than the apple eater. That represents 26 pounds of body fat. There are 5.38 milligrams of cholesterol contained in one medium-sized slice of cooked bacon. In 1 year, the person eating the Tombstone pizza would consume the equivalent cholesterol contained in 2,103 slices of bacon. That's nearly six slices a day. The apple eater would get no cholesterol. And during that same year, the pizza eater would eat 12.8 pounds more fat than the apple eater. Picture a small French poodle weighing 12.8 pounds. Now picture the same-sized ball of fat. Picture the Tombstone pizza eater's thighs. What might they write on her tombstone? She did not eat an apple a day. One of the words, just the best words you can come up with to describe the situation in that grouping right there, Apples and Pizzas, written by Robert Cohen, under A at notmilk.com. And you have written so many wonderful things, and you make the examples so graphically clear, Robert. You've just developed a genius for it, and I hope someday you're given some national award honor to support the work you've done. You are a hero to us and to so many who have written to us over the years. So whatever you do, don't stop.
Well, I've got an invitation to the world through my website, and the invitation is steal my work. Make my work your own. I love plagiarism. Take my work and just spread it. Put your own name on it. As long as it helps people, let's go for it.
Wonderful. And the tragedy of so many people, children and young people, who suffer for years and years with debilitating and, ultimately, physically debilitating. I mean, we're talking about surgery here. Crohn's disease, IBS, and other things. Now, generally speaking, we, the human species, finally found out what causes Crohn's disease. You were on this bandwagon, though, long before medical science finally admitted to it.
Well, you know, for years we talked about ulcers being caused by stress, and now we've identified a bacterium, the H. pylori bacteria, as the cause. Get rid of the bacteria, you easily cure the ulcer. Well, Crohn's is the same. We've got 40 million Americans, 30 million of them women, with irritable bowels, with constant diarrhea. And often it progresses to Crohn's disease. We all seem to know somebody with Crohn's disease these days. And in 1996, September of 96, the proceedings for the National Academy of Sciences found that 100% of people with Crohn's disease test positive for a bacteria that we get directly from the cow. Half the herds in America are infected with this bacteria called Mycobacterium paratuberculosis. It has a very scary name, paratuberculosis. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cause tuberculosis, but it causes a disease that it just lodges in the intestines. You can't get rid of it. Well, the good news is there is one doctor in Florida, Ira Shafran, who can get rid of it. And if you log on to my website, I'd be happy. Just write me an email. I get 2,000 a day. I'll see your email. I'll give you the doctor's phone number. You contact him. He's got a 95% cure rate with two antibiotics intravenously.
But, 95.
95% cure rate. Because he recognizes, get rid of the bacteria, you cure the Crohn's disease.
Tough bacteria, apparently.
It's very difficult to get rid of. Cows, they send them to the slaughterhouse. Humans, we linger with this disease our entire lives.
God, and I've met people who have had surgery and lost part of their bowel because of this.
It's a horrible disease. It's totally degenerative, and you can't get rid of it. Even if you give up milk, once you're infected, it takes 6 months for it to culture in your gut. Once you have it, you're not getting rid of it.
Wow. And you and I and many of you listening out there have met children or met people who have children who have this, and they just scratch their heads. And the poor kids, God, what a horrible thing to have to deal with, among many other illnesses.
Well, imagine, Jeff, in a room, one out of seven Americans have this, probably got it from their dairy intake.
You know, this whole issue of lactose intolerance is slapping the human species in the face, and yet we are not allowed to take note of it because of the dairy and beef industry's advertising campaigns. We're diverted from it.
Well, lactose is basically a milk sugar, and one thing people don't realize, Lactose is actually made up of two other sugars, glucose and galactose. You go to any eye doctor and mention the word galactose, and he or she is going to say to you, ah, cataracts, glaucoma. There are doctors who have written books on galactose, like Dr. Neil Gordon, who has 400 references in there how galactose is responsible for cardiac disease. It's a very caustic sugar.
Wow.
And even those people who can tolerate milk sugar, that galactose in milk is dangerous. And we see the interesting thing is there's an artificial emulsifier that we see in many foods, soy milk being one of them, called carrageenan. You see carrageenan on a label, its molecular structure, it comes from moss, is galactose. And it causes...
It is?
It causes terrible problems. Galactose, the carrageenan is actually used to de-ice airplane wings in the wintertime, so it's very difficult to digest. But it's the scientists call it the molecular tree. The actual structure of carrageenan is galactose. This is something that I discovered, and very few people know it. Hopefully more and more are learning it.
Well, they just did. I had no idea. Is it directly and always dairy-derived, or is it synthetically produced, or does it come from other sources?
Well, the interesting thing is when Linnaeus, hundreds of years ago, made that tree of the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom, some things cross over. And galactose actually, the galactose in the Irish moss, the red Irish moss, actually is a plant. But it actually is the same exact thing as the milk sugar. So it's common to milk, and it's common to this red Irish moss.
I had no idea. Fascinating. Okay, be right back. And if you look at the left side of my homepage, down there, you'll notice I've had the little boy with the milk mustache and holding the glass up. This is the truth about milk. Of course, that links right to notmilk.com and several other key resources. So by all means, please visit there. But don't hesitate for a moment. Notmilk.com. Put it on your favorites, save it, and spread it around. You heard Robert invite you to take whatever you'd like from that website, which is one of the greatest resources for health I have ever seen. Be right back. Welcome back, and to reiterate what Robert said earlier, be sure to go to notmilk.com tomorrow as well and get his daily column. He is going to disassemble the bogus news story, which is claiming that milk shows some kind of promise in lowering the risk of colorectal cancer. It's a skewed study. It's a false study. It is not correct, and read what Robert has to say in more detail tomorrow. You heard him talk about this earlier. You folks who want to justify the continuation of consuming dairy products at all costs by rationalizing and not doing research are going to pay the price. Count on it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to pay the price. So were your family. So were your friends. We could talk about cancer, which is now epidemic in America. Well, it has been epidemic, but it's becoming absurdly so. One out of two people now will get cancer in their lifetimes. They get it to the extent that it gets out of control because most of us develop it often, but the body's immune system is able to neutralize it. Now, cancer loves, above all, one thing in milk. Robert?
Well, yeah. Cancer is about growth. And what's interesting about cancer is we learned something back in 1994 that many people, I guess, didn't pay attention to. The New York Times published the results of an autopsy study on November 8, 1994. You can look this up at your library on microfilm. November 8, 94, page C1. We learned that from 3,000 premature deaths, basically car accidents, we learned that between the ages of 40 and 50, 39.6% of women actually have breast cancer. Cancer is really common. We also learned that over the age of 50, 100% of adults have thyroid tumors, 100%. So cancer is really common. We find it upon histological examination of the cells, which means looking under a microscope. So cancer is common. We control it. So thousands of things make it grow, but one thing really accelerates its growth, and that is a hormone we manufacture in our bodies called insulin growth factor, IGF-1. And in all of nature, Jeff, this is the miracle here of milk, in all of nature, hundreds of millions of different hormones in the 4,700 different mammals, there's only one that's identical between two species, and it's not human and chimpanzee, it's human and cow.
Amazing.
So here we are, this IGF-1, identical, a perfect match, like a key fitting into a lock in the cow body and the human body. Mm-hmm. You drink the milk, you take that one hormone that makes cancer grow. Mm-hmm. Thousands of things cause cancer. Mm-hmm. One thing makes it grow, IGF-1. Got milk? Got cancer fuel.
I hope you heard that loud and clear. Cancer is common, as I suggested. It gets out of control, and one of the primary reasons in many cases that it does so is because of the IGF-1 in the milk and dairy products.
Now, Jeff, I know one thing. I know you're great at trivia, so we're going to ask you, what country has the highest rate of breast cancer in the world?
Well, I would have to say this one.
Well, come on, Jeff. Do better. It's Denmark, followed by Holland and Sweden.
Sorry.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Denmark,
we could also
Norway.
Look to, I guess we could look at Wisconsin as a state-by-state thing, too, and look for...
Well, sure, but the dairy consumption is highest in Denmark, Norway, Holland, Sweden. Okay, Jeff, we're going to give you another chance, okay? What country has the highest rate of osteoporosis?
The highest rate of osteoporosis. Let me think now. Osteoporosis. All right, I'm going to have to defer to you on this one.
Denmark, followed by Norway, followed by
Holland. Same thing, because let me answer the question. Because dairy products are liquid meat.
Are you following a trend here? One more question for you, Jeff.
All right.
What country has the highest rate of heart disease?
All right, Denmark.
Now you got it.
See, I'm slow, but I catch on. See, the thing is that we have to keep in mind, just because you're not using a knife and fork on these products doesn't mean they're not the same thing. And milk is, for all intents and purposes, liquid meat. And what does meat do in the body? Let's see if they've learned this at all, Robert. Osteoporosis. What causes it? A lack of calcium in your diet. Right? Wrong. What can correct it? Calcium supplements in your diet. Right? Wrong. Tell us more.
You're right there. The expert on calcium, Robert Haney, who works for the dairy industry, has written that dietary calcium plays little or no role in preventing bone loss. So women, if you're listening, don't go through menopause.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. When you go through menopause, you're going to lose 1% of your bone density every year. The thing that prevents you from losing bone density is stress-bearing exercise. When those astronauts go out into space, they're losing 1% of their bone density every month. After a year, they come back as cripples. And it's very common to them because they don't have the gravity. They don't get stress-bearing exercise. The best therapy, go for a good, hard walk every morning, 20-minute walk, and breathe heavy and sweat, and that's where it's at. Not the slow walk, but go for a good, hard, brisk walk. That's what the body needs. And eat a diet that's friendly, that doesn't contain the acid-forming properties of these sulfur-based amino acids.
We also
In other
have
words, plants.
Right, exactly. Osteoporosis, and please give us again the little synopsis about how the body has to fight the acids from meat protein and dairy protein that we just consume all the time.
Well, the body is a miraculously designed event where it does the right thing in every case. When you cause damage to the body, and basically by putting a lot of rotten egg smell inside of it, you have to neutralize the acid, so you do so by leaching calcium from your bones.
Your body actually dumps. Now listen to Robert. Your body, every time you drink milk or eat dairy products or eat meat of any kind, whether it's fish, chicken, doesn't matter, you're going to be putting acid in your system, and the body fights that acid by actually taking calcium from your bones and dumping it into the bloodstream.
You know, when you look at the premier journal in America, Science, which is in just about every library, Thomas Edison started it in the 1800s. In 1986, volume 233, Science wrote, quote, "Osteoporosis is caused by a number of things, the most important being too much dietary protein. And that's what it is. The Journal of Nutrition shortly after that wrote, increasing protein intake by 100% can cause calcium loss to double. So we eat too much protein. We're so concerned about eating enough protein, go to any hospital in America and ask the question, how many people occupy a bed here because they don't eat enough protein? The answer is zero. It's virtually impossible to find people who don't eat enough protein in America. We eat too much protein, and too much animal protein is the key to bone loss.
Too much protein by a factor of 3 or 4 per day. It's
exactly.
That bad.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
We need 28 grams a day of protein. We're eating over 100. That's causing that acid condition. That's causing the bone loss and the heart disease. And this is real science, Jeff. This is not opinion. This is not animal rights. This is people rights. You eat the animals, they get their last laugh. They get their revenge.
The other thing about mammalian cells, which has always fascinated me, is that when the human body, or any mammal for that matter, let's take cattle, are fed poisonous, toxic food, which cattle certainly are, not to mention the intentionally administered toxins to them, the cells of the human and mammalian body will actually, in many cases, not be able to rid themselves of the toxins. So what do they do with these things? They actually store them up. They wall them off. They try to sequester them in the body.
Sure, the liver's a big garbage pail, sure.
That's right. So when you eat meat or drink any kind of dairy products and so forth, you're actually bringing into your body cells, in many cases, that are full of concentrated toxins. When you eat that steak or that hamburger, you're eating cells that have many times more than you would ever imagine of many different types of toxins in them. And when your body takes those deadly poisons in, and I'm talking about short-term and long-term, your body in turn will store it up. So you're actually geometrically increasing the deadly toxins in your body by eating meat and dairy products.
And remarkably, here's something most people do not know, that when you feed a cow corn or soybeans or any grain, and then you feed the same grain to the human, the USDA has certain standards regarding the amount of pesticides that can be put on food for humans.
Safe levels, right?
Safe levels. Quote, yes, safe levels. But the food for animals is increased by a factor of 50 times the amount of pesticides are allowed to be put on food that are given to animals. But then when you eat those animals, you're atop the food chain. You're getting the 50-time doses of the pesticides that
right.
the animals are allowed to eat as feed. And you're eating that and accumulating that in your flesh.
It's no wonder they find many tumors, especially breast tumors, when they biopsy them and take a close look at them. They find them to be loaded with toxins that come obviously from dietary sources.
Sure, and we know that DDT is certainly illegal. You can't use DDT in America, thanks to Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. She died of breast cancer shortly after she wrote that book. But if you're buying food grown in Peru, South America, Europe, check your supermarket. They're allowed to use the DDT. So it comes into America sprayed with DDT. That's where you're getting it from.
And
that's why they find so much DDT in our bodies.
Is exactly right. And American companies are only too happy to sell Chile, Peru, Mexico, and Latin countries as many herbicides and pesticides as they'd like to use. There is
right.
no regulation. And when you see stuff in the supermarket that says organic, some markets are at least conscientious enough to write the country of origin. Don't for a moment trust that. There's such a thing as graft, corruption, and flat-out lying. You cannot trust outsourced organic food. It just isn't always organic.
Well, if you're in the neighborhood, stop by my little house because I've got so much food growing in my garden,
there
and I
go.
Guarantee you it's organic.
Well, Robert's Victory Garden. It's a wonderful thing. You ought to have a picture of that on your website somewhere.
I do, as a matter of fact. Lower left corner of Not Milk, you'll see my garden, and I do have some photographs.
Well, I missed it. All right, I'm going looking here during the break at the top. Okay, zillions of things to talk about. We've covered a lot of ground this first hour. We have one more hour with the remarkable Robert Cohen. And I would urge you again to visit notmilk.com. This website is a must for all people who care about good health, who care about their families, their friends. And when you have your friends call you up and say, gee, I just got colon or rectal cancer, or I'm getting this or I'm getting that, remember what you saw and read, hopefully, at notmilk.com. Is there a way to reverse those diseases? You bet there are. And Dr. Lorraine Day will be here once a month to talk to us about that, as she always is. And that's one of the nice things about the human body. Take the load off. stop poisoning your body and give it a chance, and in most cases the body can recover and restore itself. It's a wonderful thing, but we are not taking as good care of it as we should. Be right back with Robert Cohen after this.